Hello and good day, everyone. This is Kevin Finkel here with another episode of the First Pioneers Podcast. This is a podcast all about the Pioneer format, keeping our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. Now, I'm joined here.
I'm Ryan Schwenk. I am the Japan hobbyist out of Tokyo / Yokohama in Japan.
Yeah, so I know it's been a little bit of a quiet time for Pioneer, I think, in general. You know, we've been between some major tournaments. There's been a little bit of banning going on. We've been a little bit on the quiet side. Hopefully you guys haven't missed us too badly. I had some computer problems, wasn't able to record for a while, and our other podcast host, Matt, he has been just swamped with work. So we've got a little bit of an unfortunate hiatus, but we are back. We are excited to talk about some Pioneer, get back to playing it, you know, whenever I can. So I'm going to be doing that quite a bit more now, and pretty excited about it. But we have a lot of news that we have not covered on this podcast, so we want to talk a little bit about what's gone on with these recent bannings, maybe mention what happened with the Star City Games Open, because that was a big deal. And I think we want to, you know, we kind of want to talk about, like, you know, it's kind of a new world. We just got some more bannings. We're back to square one. What's going to be in the format? What are some of the staples? And what else is maybe on that that watch list for bannables? So we're kind of looking at, like, what are some cards right now that we think are going to be super, either a staple or a bannable card? Like, kind of the new top cards of the format. Now that we have things like Once Upon a Time out of the way, we've got, you know, Field of the Dead out of the way. And Copter out of the way. So heartbroken right here.
I mean, this banning took place after a week of no bannings, and I believe maybe Aaron Forsyth or somebody had talked about how we're getting closer and closer to a definitive ban list for the format. He said he wanted everything to kind of be out of the way, probably by the time that the Grand Prix are starting with, I think, maybe Nagoya next year in January.
Yeah, and it has been suggested, GP. I think in the next few weeks here, we're going to no longer be on this weekly schedule where there's a theoretical every Monday banning. We're going to be on the normal schedule along with everything else where, you know, it's the regularly published ones. Those are the only times that bans will occur.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot easier to build your decks, you know, without having to worry about your cards being banned.
Do you want to talk Smuggler's Copter real quick? Because, like, you know, when we were preparing for this episode, back when we thought we'd be able to record it, this is one of those cards that, like, I feel like all the time I've said, like, it is a staple card. It's not a ban-worthy card. It enables so many fun things. I'm so heartbroken that it's gone. And I think a few people are with me there. I don't know if everyone is. I feel like it kind of died for the sins of some other cards, and I think that's really unfortunate because it enabled a lot of strategies that I liked.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I still agree that it is a staple of the format, and it'll be probably one of the first cards to get unbanned, you know, when they start doing that. You know, once there's, I guess, you know, some removal in white or green that can handle it just as well as, like, Fatal Push or something like that.
Yeah, that's kind of one thing that I thought is that, you know, it's really the removal that isn't there that kind of hurt the card, and I think the mana as well, the fact that it's a colorless 2-drop, made it a little bit better than it should be. Otherwise, we'd have been seeing some other things.
Yeah.
You know, I think I even did this spiel on the podcast once, and I definitely talked about it back when we were a Frontier podcast, is that Copter wasn't too strong because there are other things at that power level, and you kind of have to pick and choose. So when something like Thalia's Lieutenant is good, then you don't want to play Copter in a Thalia's Lieutenant deck because it's not a human. Same with, like, Collected Company. Same with something like Vampires as a tribal deck or Spirits as a tribal deck. You just can't really afford to have Copter in there. And I think just all of those strategies weren't very good right now, particularly, you know, you can't really play a great Kogo deck when your only interaction is Reflector Mage on turn 3. It was just too slow in the world of things like Copter and things like all of the green decks playing 8 wells and always having it on turn 1.
Yeah. And I mean that's the thing, is, like, one of the reasons why they banned Copter was, they're saying people weren't trying out new things. Like you said, we had 2 years in Frontier to kind of figure out, okay, Copter's really good. When we first started playing the format, it was super strong in Frontier, but towards the end of Frontier format, you know, like 2 years later, there was kind of like that split had, you know, developed, and we were saying, like, yeah, Collected Company decks are good, or this aggro deck is good without, you know, this deck. Yeah, or without this card.
Another topic I've kind of seen on why Copter maybe was a little bit stronger in this than it was in Frontier is that, you know, we could almost make this a topic on its own. I could talk about Smuggler's Copter for half an hour. But Fatal Push, I mean, it is seeing a lot of play in Pioneer, but it was better in Frontier because you could regularly turn it on with your fetches. So without the fetches, it makes it a little bit worse, which was one of those valves that really killed Smuggler's Copter. But, you know, we still have Lightning Strike, we still have a Braid, and those aren't seeing much play because there's not a ton of red decks.
Command.
Yeah, there should be white decks, but they're just not really existing, and they have trouble with Copter, I guess. Or it's that the other way around.
Yeah, so Copter's gone. Field of the Dead I thought was probably a good banning.
Yeah, I think that was a great banning. And what I kind of assume there is that they saw, you know, we're kind of getting to the point where right before the bans, we were getting down to three major archetypes, maybe four. The three I would say was like field decks, the mono black decks, and the green whatever stompy decks. You know, playing eight dorks and
green blue copper. Most likely.
Green red I think was also pretty popular, and we did still see some kind of like mono greenish ramp sort of strategies. But really, it was those green Once Upon a Time decks, the Field of Dead decks, and the black deck, which a lot of people call the Copter deck, even though the green red decks were playing Copter too. And what my point is that we knew that Field needed to be taken down a notch, but they didn't want the other two to then just be the only two pillars in the format, so they said, okay, we're going to ban all three. Kind of like how Smuggler's Copter got banned and Reflector Mage had to come too. This feels like one of those situations you had to ban the Once Upon a Time, had to ban the Smuggler's Copter, because otherwise those decks would just jump up even further in popularity.
Yeah. Now that Once Upon a Time is gone, I think that it's possible that Oath of Nissa will see a return to the format. Not anytime soon, but probably next year sometime. Because both of those in the same format together in the same decks was just broken. Mm-hmm.
And I think some of that will depend on A, whether Nykthos is still broken, and B, whether or not it... You know, really the reason why they banned it, I think we talked about this on a previous episode, is that I was kind of saying... They didn't ban Oath for the power level. They banned it because it was making four-color Planeswalker decks possible, and they really don't want that kind of mana accessibility to be a thing in Pioneer.
Because it's still really hard to take care of Planeswalkers.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they've printed stuff, you know, I mean, even though you can use like Dreadborn and whatnot, or what's the other one? The Immortal Sun. You know, it's just,
those are, I mean, there's Hero's Downfall, there's Murderous Rider. There are ways to kill Planeswalkers, but it's not always, you know, often you're killing it and you're losing your tempo, and they got an advantage out of it anyways. So just naturally, they're kind of a hard card to deal with, and it limits the kind of colors you can play.
Yeah. Okay, so those are the bannings that we had. Now I think that we've gotten those out of the way, we can kind of talk about what's left. What do we see becoming a staple now that probably a majority of the bans have been done?
Yeah, likely. And I think the first place I would want to go is I would want to look at, you know, those cards that I said, hey, if these are the same power level as Copter, we can play them instead of Copter. You know, now if Copter is not even an option, I'm even more interested in Collected Company decks right off the bat. I think that's what I've really been brewing.
Before we go into like all the individual cards, I think what is your definition of a staple card versus like a ban-worthy card? Like, we thought Copter was a staple just because you could play it in pretty much any aggro deck. You know, it would fit, it would slot in well to anything. So is a staple card a card that you can play in any deck? Or is it a card that's like just in the best deck or the best one or two decks? What's like your definition?
You know, that's tough. And I think that it's, for the most part, it's something that fills a role as its best filler in that role, which there aren't a ton of in Frontier. You know, if you want a two-drop vehicle, you want Copter, and I think in that most cases, you know, you want a two-drop that filters or has, you know, ways to go late in the game or has evasion, like you wanted Copter, and there aren't as many of those in Frontier. You know, there's not a Lightning Bolt, which is always the best red removal. There's not a Path to Exile or a Swords to Plowshares, which is always the best white removal. You really have to make choices, whereas I would see something like Tireless Tracker as a staple, because if you want a three mana green creature who's going to accrue additional value, you know, just grow out of control and get card advantage, especially in longer games, I don't see anything that beats Tireless Tracker in that kind of slot. Okay.
So staple is the best possible card that does a desired effect.
Yeah, and I think it's more effect-based than deck-based, so you want something that... I mean, I wouldn't call, like, a Lord a staple card because it has one deck where it has an effect.
Yeah.
Whereas a card that has good power level, you know, good raw power level, doing a specific thing better than anything else in a multiple variety of decks, those are kind of my three criteria, I might call them.
Okay. Okay, so you said you wanted to start maybe with Collected Company. You want to start off with that? That was on my list.
Yeah, I think Collected Company is something I would say is now going to come back some. I really think that it was underplayed where it was, and it should see some play here.
And I think there's a couple other people that have also commented on this online. I forgot somebody. Yoman on TCGplayer.com.
Oh, sure. He's a mod for the Reddit Spikes channel, if you know him.
Yeah, so he's been doing some really great content, written content out there for Pioneer recently. And what else? He said Coco was probably going to be one of the winners. What else did he say? I don't know if you read that article.
I don't know if I read that article. Hopefully we're not just rehashing some of what he's already said there, but...
No, he only had like three or four things.
I would look at some of those lords. I do think that some of the most powerful lords... So I think that, you know, if I'm looking at black, I might go back to looking at Sorin now. The three-mana Sorin, he really dropped out of play because people were playing, okay, I want to play Copter, I don't want to be playing Tribal with Copter. So those didn't work well together. So I'm really interested in, you know, black vampires, maybe black-white. I feel like people overlooked black-white, and I'd love to get some Blood Baron in the game.
Yeah. What's another one? The zombies might actually be all right now.
I think zombies is reasonable. I think humans is very reasonable. You know, we already had... it saw a little bit of play. I think we've mostly been seeing it as mono-white, which I think is a great deck. And there's, you know, that's another one that I've been saying is, like, you don't want to play Copter in your mono-white deck.
Yeah.
So the fact that Copter is no longer an option, it makes that mono-white deck more powerful.
So as far as Collected Company decks go, would you say that Elves would also maybe be a little bit better to play now?
Yeah, I was working my way back there. Elves is interesting. You know, Elves has always... It has so many different ways it can go, and I feel like it doesn't have quite the large enough card pool in any of those strategies.
Mm-hmm.
So like it has doesn't have good the most beatdown creatures. Elves, or it has value, or it has, you know, go wide, but it doesn't do any of them super duper well.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of needs like what were people playing? The Despair.
Driven to Despair, yeah. I mean, I think Driven that's to one Despair way to go with it.
Kind of like a combo card for them, you know, if you're playing aggro or something like that. But there's better value cards probably that you could be playing. I think the best value Coco deck is probably gonna be the humans version.
That's possible. I think that's a decent value one. I mean, I do think that you could just play value Coco. I mean, we're seeing like Bant Flash sort of decks now and then. I think that could be a Coco deck.
And there's also the, was that Prince? The Charming Prince has really made either the value or the humans deck just so much better, I think.
Yeah, I think the tough part, where I really liked Charming Prince was alongside Renegade Rallier when those were both a thing in Frontier. I think that it's harder to do that in Pioneer just because you can't really play Rallier. You know, that card really drops off without fetches.
Without fetches, yeah.
And of course, the one that we didn't mention is Spirits. I think that we've got to look there, of course.
What are you thinking, Bant Spirits?
I think so you know, Blue-White has been what's been seeing play. I wasn't calling that specifically a Coco deck. I do still like it as a Coco deck.
If you want to.
Yeah, we'll see, because I think that some people were playing Copter in that deck, and if you're no longer playing Copter, I think it would behoove you to re-add the green to the deck and look at Collected Company as a replacement there.
Yeah. You could also kind of say, like, Blue-White Flyers is also kind of a similar archetype. There's a lot of spirits in there as well, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, the other card you were talking about, Tireless Tracker, let's move on to that one next.
Sure. I mean, that one's harder. I don't nail that down to an archetype. Whereas, but you know, something like Coco is a build around. Sure, certainly.
Yeah. Like, you could play it in the sideboard, you know, if you need card advantage in the more, control-y, you know, mid-range deck, or, you know, if you're just trying to, like you said, you know, play just like humans even, you could probably play that on your top end as extra card advantage if you wanted to.
Oh, of course. And especially, you know, does have some synergies alongside things like Thraven Inspector.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So yeah, just all around good card. You could play pretty much any green deck, and you'd be very happy with how well it, you know, I wouldn't say synergizes, but how well it goes along with other strategies.
So, you know, we did begin our conversation talking about bans. We've just now kind of run through a lot of cards. We're like, oh, I'm excited about this now. I'm excited about this as a possible winner from Copter Field, Once Upon a Time being banned. What of these do you think is too powerful, or do you think that these are all just like, these are good cards, they'll be staples now? Do you think that, you know, is something like, I don't know, Supreme Phantom now on a watch list for banning, or do you just think it's a good card?
Well, Nykthos, Shrine to Nyx has always kind of been at the edge.
Like, yeah, I think we'll get to some more. Well, just I wanted to, you know, recap before we moved on of any of the ones we've already mentioned. Do you think Collective Company is at all at risk right now?
No, I don't think so. Just because everyone's also playing Grafdigger's Cage now, which stops those cards from coming into play from the library. So.
Yeah, possibly.
So they're going to have to play, you know, Dedicated Hate for that, and that just... it limits their options, I should say.
Yeah, so I guess I'm going to segue a little bit into... You're talking about Graveyard Hate, and I think that that's a good topic, is I don't know how that fits into our... you know, into our criteria of whether or not it's a staple, is that the Graveyard deck started out strong in this format and hasn't had any bannings at all.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just the fact that the hate is so good in this format that if it gets stronger, we can... I think that's kind of like, it's almost like perfect. Like, that is what Wizards should be striving for, is that, like, this is a strong strategy, it's totally viable anytime, and if it ever gets too strong... we have all the tools already existing in the format to put it back down to where it needs to be.
Yeah, yeah. It's not only Dredge, but there's also, like, the God Pharaoh's Gift decks, and I think there's a couple other strategies, like Blue-Red Phoenix, that rely heavily on the Graveyard, and, you know, we have really good cards. We have Rest in Peace, we have, what was the other one I said? Is it Grafdigger's Cage? Mm-hmm. What's the black one? The Leyline of the Void?
Yep.
And also for the kind of like the aggro decks, there's the green creature Scavenging Ooze.
Yeah, he sees plenty of main deck play.
That is definitely something that Wizards should be striving for, like, to have those type of options where they're not super, well, I guess Rest in Peace is kind of a super hate card.
Yeah.
But they fill varying roles. Like Grafdigger's Cage not only stops, you know, Dredge, you know, from, you know, Dredge or like a Phoenix from coming back, but it also stops Aetherworks decks. It stops Collected Company decks because creatures can't enter from the library as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So So those cards I actually didn't have them on my list, but I should probably say that those are probably going to be staples going forward in the sideboard.
Sure, and I don't think if there's anything. No, I don't think Wizards would ever be like, I'm going to ban Rest in Peace. I'd think that it's not
never
inherently so strong. It's not inherently stopping people from having fun per se.
Yeah,
I guess the real question would except be like, that, except are there for other the Dredge player decks? Yeah, I mean, are there Graveyard decks that are being kept out of the format because people are hating on Dredge and Phoenix?
I mean, basically, you have to have devoted, you know, hate against hate cards now. Which, you know, I think is great. You know, you got to play your Abrupt Decays or, you know, your Assassin's Trophy in that Sultai Dredge deck if you want to be able to take out that Rest in Peace and, you know, be able to go off.
So let's talk Phoenix real quick, because that's another one of those decks that has been showing up strongly from the beginning of the format and hasn't been touched yet. So do we want to look at crews on the watch list?
Yeah, so I would definitely think it's a staple already.
And would you say that deck was a winner? Like, I'm trying to think specifically. I mean, were they decent against field. I liked being able to go to the sky against the field decks.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were reasonable into mono black. It wasn't an amazing matchup. But mono black was kind of just good against everything.
Just without fetches and stuff. I don't think it's that broken. I think, you know, all you have to do is side in, like, a Rest in Peace or some other thing that, you know, gets rid of their graveyard, and then suddenly they, you know, they can't draw all these extra cards with Treasure Cruise. But I mean, I guess it might depend on also how well Jeskai Ascendancy does now. You know, if that's like the de facto combo deck in the format. And I think that was another card that people are talking about maybe getting better. And Treasure Cruise really supercharges
that really strategy. Does. Although I think that Dig is reasonable in that strategy as well. So it would be hard to...
Yeah.
If you're trying to hurt that strategy, banning one and not the other wouldn't really affect it.
Yeah. It wouldn't affect it. So you could do... I mean, because that's basically kind of what happened in the other formats, right? Like, if they banned Treasure Cruise, Dig just became the number one thing, right?
Yeah, and there are some decks right now, I think, that do want Dig over Cruise. It's not all of them, definitely.
I mean, Dig Through Time is better for, like, the control decks as well, I think. Like, the Simic Nexus and, you know, blue-white control and...
Yeah, and, you know, it's about whether you want more cards or if you really want the selection. You know, if you're running 27 lands, you really want to take the cards that aren't lands late in the game.
Yeah, so Treasure Cruise is more basically for those cantrip decks.
Yeah, or decks that want the raw card advantage.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. Could we... Maybe we should talk about both of these at the same time. Should we talk about Dig Through Time and Treasure Cruise? Are they both ban-worthy? Are they both staples? Or is one more ban-worthy than the other? What do you think?
I think that there may be some watch right now. So, you know, early on I said that there was kind of four decks in the format. I was kind of seeing blue-white as a very popular deck. It was showing up as a control deck, the control deck to beat. I haven't seen as much results since the bannings, partially just because I've been out of a computer here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, haven't been on MTGO or anything like that.
I've been following Twitter. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of blue decks showing up, like in the 5-0 Pioneer deck list, you know.
I don't know. I would expect that blue-white is a deck that got a lot better after these bannings just now, and that it's something to really, really... that probably should be on some kind of watch list. Like, right now, you know, look at Standard 2. It just kind of popped back up in Standard as a great deck. I think that is always an indicative of, like, you know, so Field was banned there, this got better. This was banned there, that got better. Maybe we need to look at this.
So one more, that's something I just popped into my head. I wanted to talk about kind of a little bit off tangent here. They're getting all their data online from like PTQs and MTGO and stuff like that. I kind of feel like there's a very limited player base on those platforms.
I don't know if that's true. Playing MTGO. Not when we're getting still like 50, 60, 5-0 decks in the dumps. I mean, there's a lot of people playing.
There's a lot of people playing, but also I kind of feel like as far as cost-wise, some people will, of course, pay the money to get like these really expensive cards, you know, on MTGO, but I think that that's kind of limiting card choices and maybe kind of skewing the data a little bit as far as like, was Copter really that bad or did people just not, you know, have these other ones or did they already have this, like that sort of thing.
There is always a little bit of a skew. Like, I feel like decks like Nexus, it's very different to play that in paper versus playing on MTGO.
Because you go to time, you know.
Yeah, you'll go to time. And there's also, you know, the shuffling factor. Manually shuffling repeatedly is a bit of a pain, especially when Nexus is foil.
Yeah, so I think there's some skewing. And that could possibly affect some of the early bannings. But maybe that'll change later on. Sorry, that was my tangent. We can go back to the main topic.
I'm going to go back to, you know, we've kind of danced around some of, I think, the biggest decks in the format, or biggest cards in the format. I would say the biggest two staples. Let's talk Oko.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't gotten banned. He's banned in Standard.
Yeah. I mean, definitely getting rid of Once Upon a Time makes him not turn two always, you know, which was basically what was happening over the last few weeks.
Not turn two always, although you could still go 12 Dork and get almost the same reliability that you had with 10 Dork. And
but then you're playing 12 Dork.
Sure, but I think the food decks are surprisingly strong. You know, we've seen Wicked Wolf popping up as a card that's seeing actual play.
Yeah, actually, I went to the God of Pioneer at Hallelujah two weeks back, I think. We haven't really talked about it because we haven't had recorded a show since then. And I want to say that a food deck made the top 8, if not 1, the entire event. And it was basically just a standard deck. That's crazy. That's how powerful Oko and, you know, stuff like the wolf and whatever and the duck are. Or the goose.
So we got to go full Maoism and just say that food was a mistake.
The gaining the life... Yeah. I don't know if it's the gaining the life part. I mean, maybe it should have just made treasure. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Oko had some problems with it. Really, the Oko second ability is where people point out the problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that that is a card that, you know, does it get stronger from Copter disappearing? Does it get stronger from, I mean, Mono Black taking a hit? I don't even know if Mono Black dies. That really leads me into Thoughtseize, which I think is, you know, it's kind of up there. Like, can Thoughtseize be banned, or is Thoughtseize the staple that can't get banned?
So, for just to go back to Oko real quick,
sure,
yeah. I think Oko is close to ban worthy. Not quite. He's at the edge. He's at the border.
Hmm.
So, that's on my watch list. I'm not sure it will survive.
Yeah, I want to say that there's hate for it, because now you can actually kill it. You know, there's no Veil of Summer protecting it, which was one of the biggest things. Maybe, you know, if we get a good white removal that...
Yeah.
Can answer stuff like Copter, can answer stuff like Oko, and yeah, you know, I've kind of said it, I think, a couple times that what I'd like to see maybe from White right now is like a 2-mana Path to Exile that can hit Planeswalkers as well.
Would love it.
that's my secret. Like, that would make the format of Standard and the format of Pioneer so much better.
Okay, so Thoughtseize.
Yeah, Thoughtseize. Oh my god.
You want to give your thoughts first, or should I give my thoughts?
I mean, I've kind of said it before, but you can seize them again, that I think that there aren't many examples where there's a singular best card in Pioneer. Mm-hmm. That, you know, there's always, you know, even if we're talking Tireless Checker, you could play Nissa instead. You could play, I don't know, something else instead that gains value. If you're talking about Lightning Strike, there are times where I'd rather play a Braid or Harnessed Lightning, and there is nothing that's like, instead of playing Thoughtseize, I'm going to play blank. And that really, for me, I think like, that is a problem. I don't like that. Like, I don't think I want the card banned, because I like mid-range strategies. I like making them viable.
It keeps the combo decks honest as well.
It does.
Combo decks and control decks would just run away. You know, they just counter everything.
It does, and remind me to come back to that, because I want to talk on that a little bit too. But it just, it makes it really hard. I don't know what to do about it, because, like, I wish that there was some other, you know, I wish that I had to think about deck building in black decks, but it's just, you put 4 Thoughtseize in, you pay $60 for whatever it is in every black deck that's ever going to exist in Pioneer, and you put 4 Thoughtseize in, because that's what you do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a staple. I don't think it's ban-worthy.
I don't know if it's ban-worthy, but it's not what I want in a staple. Like, it's too much of a staple.
I mean, like, Fatal Push will always be a staple as well. I mean, I'm looking right now at, like, some PTQ data, and I think there was 1,074 Thoughtseize. It was the number one non-land card played, like, in the entire format, you know, during this PTQ. And then Fatal Push was right under there at 927. That might be a little skewed now that Copter's been banned and Mono Black Aggro will probably drop off a bit.
Yeah, I mean, there are reasons not to play Fatal Push, though, sometimes. You know, I'll see
Aggro
decks only playing 3 of them. You know, I'm thinking more about, like, Frontier, where there was some variability. You can get decks that prey on Fatal Push. You can get things like Nexus or Control that'll just play no targets for it. So there's certainly times where you'll side out Fatal Push.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're not siding out Thoughtseize, unless you're maybe against Aggro.
I think red decks, you know, red aggro is going to get better from these bannings.
Yes. Let's look at that as a positive way. I do think that red aggro is now going to get a lot better. I think that...
And that should reduce Thoughtseize, right?
Maybe. I think maybe.
If people are doing all this damage really hard and burning you, you don't want to take an extra 2 damage.
It certainly depends on what the black decks look like. If you still got, you know, Blood Soak Champion and the Beep Scrounger... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd feel a little awkward playing Thoughtseize into a red deck. That seems very tough. And that kind of that is where the deck really got hit, is that it can no longer bin those for free, and it can no longer use those creatures that can't block Kurokopter, which was one thing that it really wanted to do.
Yeah. So yeah, I think Thoughtseize is a staple. I'll just leave it at that.
It's a reluctant staple. So you had mentioned, you know, you're like, hey, you know, this card is a bit of a staple, but it keeps out big strategies that we like to hate.
It keeps them honest. Makes it so that they can stay in the format, because without a card like Thoughtseize, I feel like these other strategies would kind of take over, and then they'd have to be banned as well.
When you talk about that, what it makes me think of is Teferi.
Yeah.
Because I think that Teferi is kind of doing the same thing, where it does some evil. There's certainly some things that people are just like, I'm not going to play blank because Teferi is out there. Less so compared to Standard, but it certainly exists. And I think that Teferi also is stopping some nasty, nasty things that we haven't really seen show up. So I think that the Nexus decks would get a lot scarier if Teferi wasn't around. I think that we would see a lot more Marvel, which people hate it when it's good. And those are all things that, because Teferi is around, it's keeping some of that down. Maybe even the Coco decks, you know, they might be hurting a little bit because of Teferi.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Teferi is also on my list of is it ban-worthy or staple. I would say it's probably an okay staple now. I don't think
that's where I land on it right now. I don't see any reason to ban it. I think it's going to be a staple for the rest of time.
Yeah, it keeps everything. I mean, it's sad that, like, you can't really play your Gear Hulks anymore.
I mean, I don't hate it. You know, I never hated it. The blue decks that are really playing Gear Hulk can usually answer a Teferi. You know, they can counter it. They can kill it, whatever.
Well, Gear Hulks are probably going to show up in non-white decks now. They're going to be more like in your Grixis and your blue-black, I think.
Yeah, I do think that blue-black has been reasonable. I think that's been a deck that's been under the radar.
With, like, Scarab Gods and whatnot,
and Boluses, all of the removal.
So, okay, Teferi, that was one of my cards. How about, let's talk about another blue card, Jace, Rin's Prodigy. Is that on your list for possible ban-worthy or staple card?
Oh, I don't think it's ban-worthy at all. I don't know if I even call it a staple. You know, there are replacements for it. I think that if I'm playing Jace, I'm okay playing Search for Ezcanta instead. I'm okay playing Narset instead. I think that those are kind of interchangeable cards. I do think that Jace probably got a little bit, tiny bit better, because if there are less Fatal Pushes being played, he won't be so terrible. but I thought that he was not in a great spot prior to these bans.
I like it in, like, for example, like the blue-red Phoenix deck. You know, is one of the cards, kind of the early enabler sort of thing to put stuff in the graveyard. Or even in, I think people were playing it in Coco decks before. They were playing it in Rally the Ancestor decks in the past.
Yes, that's definitely a place where it was very good. And yeah, it's something worth thinking about.
I think he's not one of the best staple cards, but I still think he's going to be like one of those low-key staple cards. He'll show up in a variety of decks. And that kind of... How do I say that? That reaches the threshold of staple for me.
All right, so there's kind of one more place I really want to go. You know, we had Field of the Dead in the format, and that was kind of preying on anything mid-range. It was the deck that, you know, you can't go late because they're going to have 18 bajillion zombies. There's absolutely no way to interact with it, blah, blah, blah. That's gone. What is the top-end deck now? Like, what is the mid-range hater? Are we going to see some Emrakul decks back? Are we going to see some combo decks?
Yeah, I was thinking Delirium might be a little bit better now. So Emrakul was definitely on my possibles for something that could become a staple.
Are we going to see Elspeth be the top-end card? You know, that kind of plays the same role as Field of the Dead. Except you have to pay mana for it.
Yeah. So I'm not sure about Elspeth so much. She's a good card, but I haven't seen really anybody playing her. Maybe as like a one-of or something, like in a white-blue
control deck. Yeah, I mean, I see her in like the Jeskai Fires maybe, but... Yeah.
I'm more worried about a card like Nissa Who Shakes the World. As far as like a card that enables you to go along, and it's kind of hard to take advantage, to get rid of. So like in those types of, how could I say, like the with Field of the Dead gone, you know, you need something that's gonna be popping out creatures every turn. Yeah. You can do that along with your what is it? Hour of Promise. You can still make a decent amount of zombies that way.
Yeah, that's sketchy. I don't hate that, maybe. You know, I could see... Yeah, I did really like the Hour of Promise decks, the green-black ones that would run the Westvale Abbey. I thought that was cool. Can you still hear me? I think I just lost my screen.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I just didn't touch it. Yeah. So anything else big that you want to mention? You know, we didn't name every staple. It's not worth going through, like, hey, you know...
Well, we didn't really talk about Nykthos. I think
Nykthos, I think, is one we do have.
It's a really big card we have to talk about. I mean,
that hasn't disappeared.
And that's going to be back. The thing is, it's only... Well, I guess Black... There's Black Devotion now is kind of all right.
Sure, yeah. But, most of them don't go as big on mana, but I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I could see Blue Devotion still showing up, especially if the format's slowed down a little. You know, that's kind of... A lot of people are excited right off the bat. You know, you've got Thassa. I think Gadwick is reasonable in that deck, and that's really good with Nykthos. Plus, people have been finding that to be good in Standard.
Is Gadwick the one that draws you cards?
The wizard.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that. But yeah, Nykthos, I mean, the most dangerous deck is still going to be green, as far as Nykthos is concerned.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's other possibilities, other ways you could probably use it, like we said, in blue or black. So I kind of see that as also one of my staples. I don't think it's... I think now that they got rid of, like, Once Upon a Time and, like, Oath...
Yeah, Once Upon a Time was part of what was making it... Yeah, Once Upon a Time and Oath being able to find it was something that made it really nasty. I think it gets, you know, gets more fair, and I think that's totally fine.
It gives the other people more time to, you know, take out part of that devotion puzzle, you know what I mean? Like, get rid of that green, green, green card, or to cast something like a Fumigate or whatever to, like, wipe their board and get rid of all devotion.
Yeah. All right, I think, you know, we're about 36 minutes here. That's about what we like to make our episodes. I'm going to kind of call it a shut, unless you got anything else you really need to call out as a staple?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wanted to talk about the elves, like the mana dorks, I think.
Yeah, I mean, okay, that I think that's a good example.
We don't really have a Noble Hierarch, you know, in the format, so...
That's a good example of a staple. I don't think they're anywhere close to ban-worthy, at least at the moment. You know, maybe in the future, if we still see... three mana creature, you know, dork into three mana spell being too consistent, I could see lowering the consistency of that by banning one of the elves and not the other.
I don't think,
but yeah, that's kind of a silly that's just gonna be a staple, just like, you know, Wild Slash as our shock is gonna be a staple.
We don't need to go through all of those. But
Kalidus is a sideboard card, is a good one to, okay, well, let's bring it to the end here. You know, we talked about the bannings, we talked about, you know, getting back into the show here. What's going to get better, what are some new staples now, and what we think is worth looking at, what's not. Yeah, I like this. This is fun. I'm looking forward to, you know, playing a ton more. I'm going to play a ton of Pioneer this week. If anyone sees me, you know, I'll probably be playing Pioneer and try and get some good topics for you guys next week. Anything you want to hear, we've been pretty active on Twitter. You can reach out to us at, what is it? I haven't done the podcast in a while.
Pioneer.
Yeah.
At MTG Pioneer. And we also have a... Well, I mean, if you want to just talk about Pioneer in general, there's also a huge Pioneer Facebook... how can I say? Facebook group that you can join to talk about it. And we also have a Discord.
Yeah, we got a Discord. It's great. Along with a Reddit. Yeah, so, a Reddit and Discord. So MTG Pioneer.
Yeah, MTG. We have the First Pioneers or the MTG Pioneer if you want to... You know, join us and talk about stuff face to face, or not face to face, but
I mean, if you want to fly out here and talk to me about Pioneer, I will talk to you about Pioneer. That's how much I love this
format. Come to Japan, please.
Oh yeah,
it's anybody. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, once again, we are MTG Pioneer. Did you want to give your Twitter information too?
Yeah. If you guys want to follow me, I like to post, you know, like fun deck lists and talk about what's going on in Japan in the Pioneer scene. So I am. At Yoshwenky on Twitter, which is YOSCHWENKY, and from time to time I'm also posting on my blog, which is www.thejapanhobbyist.com. I talk about all things MTG in Japan.
Alright, so we are the First Pioneers, the all MTG Pioneer podcast, keeping our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer.